All right, on this episode of Bouts Talkin' Bouts, happy to be speaking with an individual who has quite the intriguing fight going on at LFA 119, topping the marquee for that vacant LFA middleweight championship. And we've got Josh Silvera taking on Jared Ravel, and very happy to be talking to Jared once again. How's everything going, man? It seems like you're kind of, you know, recovering from the previous training session and everything like that. Good day overall so far, though?
Yeah, it's been a great day. I actually just got back from Phoenix yesterday, so, you know, right to work, obviously. You know, kind of in the middle of training camp, I went and saw my striking coach, Jay Johnsy, so we got some work in this morning. I'm back here sitting in some Normacek boots trying to recover. I'm going to go for a little grappling session here in about 40 minutes, so...
Yeah, and I was noticing on the social media there, like, you talk about Arizona. Like, it seemed like Fight Ready was a place you were getting in a lot of great work at there. Like, how did that come about? Is that, like, a relatively recent sort of thing that you've added into the preparations and whatnot?
You know, honestly, like, probably, I guess, last May, you know, just the same agent as Eric Anders. And they kind of linked us up, and I went down for his last fight and helped prepare. He was fighting Darren Stewart. And so I went down there for about 3-4 weeks, right? And it kind of just got acclimated and was training, you know, with him and helping him prepare for his fight, right? So, you know, just obviously got connections down there. And then he had another fight booked. I think it was for the 13th of November. And just due to COVID, some issues happened. But I was down there. And then at the same time, you know, just one of the, you know, El Capitan, he had a call from Joe Silva, and then ends up that's how I got the fight for the LFA opportunity, right? So I've just been down there, and I just came home kind of for the last couple of weeks with my coaches just to make sure that you know, I got everything nailed down and ready to rock.
Yeah, well, it sounds like you've got a best of both worlds kind of thing almost. You still have like the core kind of base gym and stuff like that, but getting in that kind of like international sort of cross training, and as far as like so many people coming in and out,
definitely helps out, you know, adds to my game, right? And then come home, just, you know, sharpen the last little details for the fight, right, with my crew.
Yeah, and you had mentioned Eric Anders, who's a great fighter, obviously, but who are some of the other people that you've, not even just like the physical kind of sparring work and things of that nature, but just like in terms of like picking people's brains and stuff like that, like who are you kind of chopping it up with?
They have a ton of, like, Fight Ready is, you know, a pretty unique place, right? The coaches are, you know, amazing, right? You got HR, you got Santino, right? You got, you know, El Capitan, you got, you know, it's a who's list, right? And, you know, you're around, even if you're not training with them, but just in the room, right? And feeling the essence of all the guys, you know, top fighters, tons of Bellator, UFC guys, right? Everybody's there for, you know, one common goal. And then, you know, it's obviously the home of the Cejudo. You got, you know, just tons of people coming in and being a part of it. I think Whaley's camp was there. So there's, you know, the energy's just different, right? So it's nice.
Yeah, it seems like a great space for sure there. And it's cool to see you on a show like this, not to discount some of the previous shows you've been on for sure, because those definitely have name value in their own right. But LFA, a promotion that I think for a lot of people, it's like, oh yeah, there's a level of like upward mobility to perhaps say like a UFC or something of that sort, which like it seems like you've been looking at an opportunity like that for a decent bit. So can you kind of talk about this moment and kind of how you're looking at it? Is that sort of a fair characterization?
Yeah, for sure. You know, I think the last couple of years I've kind of been right there, and you know, definitely my last fight, I think, was a huge fight for me. And, you know, just, I think, you know, I've been knocking on the door and just kind of waiting for that opportunity, right? And, you know, whether or not it's just due to logistics and just, you know, the whole COVID happening and no fights happening in Canada, right? Stuff like that, it's made it a little, maybe a little harder for that, right? But I think I'm right there, and this just gives me another stepping stone, right? Another opportunity.
Yeah, and that fight with Sergio Moraes, definitely a key one, as you mentioned. I mean, just, yeah, a resume that reads quite well. World champion in jiu-jitsu, 14-fight UFC veteran, and you put on a very comprehensive performance against him. So just all those factors considered, like, what were your main takeaways from that Torah MMA 10 fight?
I think just going in, you know, going into Brazil, fighting a kind of Brazilian legend, you know, in the sense, right? Like, everybody, you know, knows him out there, right? So, you know, kind of going into enemy territory, flying kind of across, you know, the continent, you know, going, you know, down there, right, to Brazil, you know, that's the farthest place I've traveled to fight. You know, different setup. Obviously, I was brought in to kind of, you know, for him to win. You know, like, he's the hometown kind of favorite. And I think just the composure I was able to have, and you know, and hang in that type of fight, and be able to be you know, at my best, right, and have a great performance. I think that was, you know, the keys that took away, and realizing that, you know, I'm at that level, right.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned the dynamic of, like, bringing you in and stuff like that. I mean, you don't strike me as a guy that would necessarily have, like, a chip on your shoulder kind of thing. But is there any level of motivation in that kind of a situation, or just purely looking at it like a competitive kind of thing, and that isn't entering the mindset?
I'm just a huge competitor, man. I just love to compete, and you know, I love when, you know, I'm going up against somebody with, you know, where there are lots of elements of, you know, puts my back against the wall, just, you know, elevates my game, and I have to be at my best, right? So I think that just fuels my fire in the sense of my competitive drive and wanting to see what I'm kind of made of, right, and see what, you know, can be brought out.
Yeah, no doubt. And when we were talking ahead of that fight, you were saying it was going to be the first time you were set to visit Brazil, and you were sort of like, I don't know, just with the pandemic, I'm not really sure what it's going to be like necessarily. Like, what was the experience like overall visiting Brazil?
Yeah, I actually had a really good experience, like, overall. Like, we weren't allowed to leave the hotel in a sense. Like, we were in a bubble. Yeah. We did kind of get out to do a weight cut in a pretty scummy, just because there was no, like, they had nothing. Nothing was open, right? Like, no hot tubs, no saunas anywhere. So we ended up going to a pretty skeezy place, right? But it worked out. It was an experience for sure, right? And after, you know, like, so I think up into the fight, like, you know, I was the kind of the gringo coming in to get beat up, and or before the fight, and then after, it was I had nothing but people were super amazing to me, and you know, the promotion did really well. So, like, they obviously wanted me to come back and fight for the title, so they were being very regardless of, you know, I know there'd been some problems, people talking about Tara, but they were super great to me. All the Brazilians were amazing to me after. We even had somebody, you know, our guy named Pedro, he took us around and showed us the next day. Like, you know, it was a great experience for me. It's you know, a trip of a lifetime, go down to some place like that and then get a huge win, and then also get to explore the next day. And we did it up for sure.
Yeah, and it looked like you got the post-fight ritual in the cage going there too, so that was good. You got like
it was unique because you know one of my cornermen, you know, couldn't make it, and Jay. And so, you know, but it was pretty cool. Like, we had an earpiece in one of my other corners. So he's, you know, doing all the striking points. And it was funny when they came in between the rounds. Like, I didn't know that he was, like, on the face. Like, I knew that they were going to try to FaceTime and talk. But he's actually in his ear, in the earbud, right? And he's like, so the coach that's there with me is telling me, right, like, what the other coach is telling him in his ear. I didn't realize that, but I was like, oh, that sounds a lot like my coach Jay. And I was like, but it's funny because he was literally on the FaceTime and the whole fight. So it was pretty cool, unique experience, right?
Yeah, no doubt. Seemed like a really great time for sure. And it was cool to see that picture for sure. But something I was noticing as part of this card was the fact that there's a bit of British Columbia representation in title fights there. Like, I was seeing Jamie Lynn Horth Wessels is also going to be...
So she's, I think, the following weekend, I believe. So she's the weekend after, right? So, but that's, you know, a huge opportunity for her as well. I'm super stoked for her.
Yeah, I was going to say, is there like a level of, like, you know, riding into battle kind of thing, like a level of camaraderie almost in the title fights there sort of thing coming up, just a couple British Columbia fighters getting out there?
Like I've always, you know, been a big supporter of Jamie Lynn. I think, you know, she's got a great thing going, and, you know, I'm super excited to see her future in the sport too, right? And, definitely, you know, she's been working with my strike coach Jay recently, so, you know, I've been hearing good things, you know, based on that, right? And, you know, I'm excited to watch her compete and win the next weekend, right? So...
Yeah, no, incredibly, you know, talented fighter for sure. Definitely someone to have on the radar if she's not already on the radar there. But, I mean, been a little bit since you last got out there. I'm kind of wondering, I mean, obviously the pandemic, sometimes it's hard to get certain things locked down and whatnot. Like, what was the, I guess, main factor for, like, this bit of a layoff here? Was it a matter of just, like, making a calculated kind of, you know, see what the next step is kind of move? Or, like, what informed that, you know, bit of a layoff there?
You know, honestly, I didn't really want a layoff. You know, it wasn't like I was waiting for that. I think, you know, just because my agents and, you know, and just that, looking for, that, you know, that you know, a short notice fight or something like that with UFC. Like, that's kind of what the goal was, right? You know, we did have, I went down for the Ultimate Fighter, so they, you know, the Ultimate Fighter brought me down there. I was in quarantine, you know, about to, you know, potentially be on the show, and then just some things came up with paperwork, you know, the last, kind of last minute, which, you know, being one of the only people from, not from the States, right, so that kind of hampered that, that plan, and, you know, put a little damper on that, right, but I didn't really have, you know, just the right thing didn't come up, and, you know, just nothing kind of, it showed itself. I was kind of hoping for something. But, you know, this is what came up, and this is what we're ready to do, so.
Yeah, and a great opponent, too, just the spotless pro record so far there, Josh Silveira. Is this a guy that, and I guess in a general sense, like, do you usually do tape study on opponents, or is it more of a, you know, allocate that to the coaches and focus on your own individual refinement?
Usually, like, the coaches are big on the video. Like, the coaches do like me to watch a little bit, too, just to see what I can pick up, right? To see, you know, if I see the same thing, is right? So, but, you know, I don't dive into watching too much of this. I like my coaches to do a lot of it and kind of give me that game plan, and then I can execute from there, right? So that's usually how that works.
Yeah, and I'm kind of curious to ask this because I was kind of doing a bit of backgrounding on your opponent in the last fight there, winning the LFA Light Heavyweight Championship, and it seems like the entirety of their pro experience is at 205, and this one being at 185 pounds. Like, what do you think about that? Do you see that as maybe like the gas tank will be a bit different on him? Are you not thinking of any facet like that at all? Or
like, sure, like some people would say that, like even the coaches have mentioned it, but like I don't look at that as, you know, I think he's probably naturally a 185er, and you know what I mean, like, you know, making, that's where he'd want to fight if he's going to the UFC, like, you know what I mean, in my sense, right? So I don't look at any of that like, you know, oh, this is his first, like, I don't know, that's going to change anything. I'm sure he's, I think he's been a wrestler, so he understands the weight cuts, all that stuff, so I'm not too, I'm not hung up on anything like that. I just, you know, I'm expecting the best version of him, right? And that kind of gets me excited, right? That I get to fight somebody that's, you know, of high caliber, you know, undefeated, and, you know, just kind of brings the level of competitiveness up for me, and it makes it exciting.
Yeah, I mean, I think this looks like a very exciting fight for sure, one I'm definitely excited for. But I was also excited to see the post you had a few months ago at this point where you were saying a decade clean. I think that's, you know, very impressive there. How much of a milestone moment was that for you there?
Oh, that was definitely, you know, that's been a huge part of my life, you know, just moving forward, and the things that all the success that's come with it. I think just, you know, it was a big moment for me for sure. And just to realize how the time's flowing by and all the people that have been super supportive throughout, you know, throughout my journey, right, is, you know, this is, for me, just doing what I love to do, and giving everything I got is just something simple to, you know, to give back, like, everything I got and show that, you know, that I'm able to accomplish some, you know, these goals for myself, right? Just, it goes to show all the people that supported me and invested a little bit of time in me, that's the least I can do, right, and keep pushing forward, being the best version of myself, right? So I think that's one of my driving factors all the time, is to the people that did always have my back and show that I'm not just, you know, just giving it half-assed and giving everything I got, right? So
yeah, it's a great way to use the platform for sure, because maybe if someone's in like a tough spot in their own regard, they can look at the success you've had and what you're doing and draw inspiration from that. But it seems like you really use your platform for stuff like that too, like in the Instagram bio, the, you know, smash the stigma van.ca kind of shout out there. Yeah.
Well, I think like it's like for me, I'm not what, like, you know, sometimes you know, people that know me say, you know, I don't do enough on social media, all those things. But, you know, if, you know, in those little moments, the things that actually mean a lot to me, right? And, you know, help in any situation I can, right? And obviously, smash the stigma. It's, you know, if you do know my social media, like Pistol Pete, my little cousin, he's got autism, and he's one of my, you know, my best homies, right? So, you know, if anything that I can do to kind of give back to that community too and help other people that need help, I think that's one of my biggest strengths that I can do is help people when it's needed, right? So whatever I can do and give my time or anything like that, I'm the first to do it, so.
Yeah, well, you mentioned Pistol Pete. I mean, it always fires me up whenever you post the photos. It always seems like you guys have just such a great time getting up to different activities. And I thought it was cool that he came through for some jits a little bit ago there. Is that looking to be, yeah.
That was like, it was one of the coolest, like, you know, I never, especially because he can't walk, right? So he's on his knees and he's running around the room trying to like run on his knees, right? It was like, it was one of the like, yeah, coolest moments for me for sure in all my time, like watching, you know, I've taught a lot of kids. I've done a lot, taught hundreds of adults and kids, right? And it was one of the cooler experiences for me to see somebody share my passion, right? So yeah, man, that was a moment for sure.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you mentioned some of the maybe, you know, limitations with the mobility, but I mean, jiu-jitsu, a lot of technique you could impart even in that kind of context there. So I mean, is this something he's taken to a bit? Like, is he looking to get some more sessions in there and stuff like that? Could this be like a
he wrestles like his brother and you know, his my cousin's fiance, he wrestles them. Like, he loves to wrestle and fight, right? He thinks it's like the coolest thing ever. He's always always in it, right? I think that's another like huge why for me, is like, you look at somebody like that that doesn't let those limitations hold them back, and you know, how dare I, like, if I have the ability to, you know, to show up to practice, or like, why would I take a day out? Like, if I can do all these things, why would I even, like, it's almost ignorant of me not to give everything I got and try my best, and you know, when I have the ability to do them, right? When somebody like that is still pushing through and doing it. So he's always been a huge why factor for me, and kind of motivated, you know, inspiration for me to pull from, right?
Yeah, I think it's awesome for sure. Like, is he going to be checking out this fight here? I imagine there's going to be maybe a bit of a watch party with some friends and family and all that. Just,
you know, what's funny is like, I'll probably post, I have a cool picture they took. Like, he's interesting, like, when he watches me like all fighting, sometimes he doesn't like it because it's like he gets a little, they're like, you know, never, but then he wants to watch by himself. He doesn't like people around, so like, yeah. And they were watching on the laptop last time. He literally got right in the, like, right in the middle, and he pushed everybody back. Like, he wants control, right? And it's, yeah. They were telling me how he's like, he rattling when I won, he's like, was like shaking and like, oh, like, yeah. So it's like, that means the world to me, man. It's you know, and all the support I get, like, I have tons of, you know, from my back home in Manitoba. You know, I have tons of support there, all the people that support me out, you know, from out here, the new families that I have out here, right? And the, you know, the people. But yeah, the support is always, you know, to me is shocking, and I'm super humble about it. I love it, and I'm, you know, it really brings me back down and makes me feel, you know, full of gratitude, right?
Yeah, it got me smiling from ear to ear. I love talking about stuff like that. I think that's a great note to, you know, end things off on there. You've been great with your time, but, you know, just in the interest of, you know, putting the ball in your court, is there anything maybe you might want to add as a parting thought as we're wrapping up that perhaps didn't get mentioned?
Overall, you know, I just think, you know, everybody that, you know, that I train with, all the coaches, everybody, all the people that, all the fans, you know, if you want to call them that, or just people that support me, right? Family, friends, everything, you know, I just love to, you know, give a big shout out to them, right? That's, you know, everybody's a part of this. It's, you know, it's not just myself going in there, right? I feel the army behind me, right? So that's what's up. And, yeah, check out the Rebel going to the States, bringing on the LFA title.
People can check that out on UFC Fight Pass. It is LFA 119 going down on December the 3rd. And yeah, great getting you on the show to get some insights ahead of this key fight, man. I'll be, you know, checking that out for sure. And yeah, best of luck with the remainder of the preparations, and have a good rest of your day too, Jared.
All right, man. Buddy, I appreciate the, you know, the chat.